Welcome into episode 75 of the Godly Young Men podcast. And Will, we have made 75.
That's kind of crazy.
I'm blown away.
You know, Joe had this great idea, what was it, 2 years ago now. Did you ever think we'd get to 75 episodes?
I didn't think there were 75 things to cover. So. Yeah. And maybe there haven't been. There's probably people that are like, well, the few filler episodes.
Stretched a little bit on that one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Stretched some episodes. No, but I mean, we're very appreciative. If you're watching this and this is your first, of course, we're very appreciative. But if you've been with us the entire journey and you've watched along the way or even watched a few, we're very, very grateful that you've watched, that you've participated. And we hope that you like it. We hope you enjoy it. We do read the comments. We don't always get time to respond. We try to respond to as many as possible. But please continue to send your comments. We're always very grateful for the support and even the detractors. Just stirring up the discussion. We appreciate that. And so I guess keep it going. But any thoughts on 75? Any other thoughts?
No, I echo Joe. Thank you very much. We're planning to keep going. We'll hit episode 100 here before we know it.
That's right. That's right. So episode 75 was a bit of a curveball in that this is not one we've had planned, but this is something that I've been studying more recently, just as one man does, in studying the idea of testosterone. How do we build testosterone naturally? Things like that.
I heard about this episode topic about 2 hours ago. So this was not, yeah, he definitely audibled a little bit.
So I have an upcoming testosterone test. I already had one. They had faulty results for some reason. So just, you know, this is what kind of spurred this on, is the results were not accurate. I thought they were accurate and I was depressed out of my mind. And then they said, nope, these are faulty results. We have to have another test. We've yet to have it. So I'm not probably going to tell that on air of what the results are. But I am definitely doing what I can to boost testosterone naturally, because I do realize this is a very important thing in a man's life. This is a huge part of a man's health. We know this from, scientifically speaking, how important testosterone is for a man's health, a man's mental health, those that have low testosterone. We're going to get into some of the signs of low T. But you say, this is godly young men. Why are we talking about this? Because this is very relevant, and we're also going to get into here in a bit why this matters. But I would say, and we'll all tee you off on this, I think this is a crisis that no one is talking about, because our testosterone levels have been dropping precipitously, drastically, over the last several years.
Yeah, and it coincides with our society's kind of inability to prop up men, kind of their inability to define what a man or what a woman is. Coincides with a lot of the feminization of men, kind of the effeminate nature that a lot of men have. These things go hand in hand with, again, the declining testosterone levels. Joe, I think you've got a study maybe you're going to reference here in a bit, or maybe I'm jumping the gun. But essentially, our testosterone levels today in your average 20, 25-year-old are basically the equivalent of what a 60-year-old was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. That's crazy. That is an insane decline when, you know, you consider that, you know, 20 to 30 is supposed to be kind of your highest level of testosterone. And again, it's equivalent to what 60-year-olds were. So there's so many things that contribute to this, as we're going to get to. There's so many, you know, problems with the way that a lot of guys are living their lives, carrying themselves, that get to that lead to this. But again, people might be listening to this going, okay, what's the big deal? Why is this worth doing a Godly Young Men podcast episode on? Whether or not we talk about it a lot, this is an important part of every godly young man's life. This will be a crucial aspect of your life moving forward. And so it's, again, I would say crucial to have a good understanding of, you know, why this is important, what are the signs of low testosterone, how can you boost it, all these things. Because it does impact us. Again, just look around at the effeminate society that we have, the truly lack of masculine men that we have, and you'll see why this is a problem.
That's absolutely right. So with the testosterone levels supposed to be at the highest during adolescence, during early adulthood, this is the crisis, because those are the people that have some of the lowest right now. That's when it should be at its peak. And not to get scientific, because I'm an idiot when it comes to science, but normal levels of 300 to 1,000 nanograms per deciliter. So you'll see it kind of in a, I won't get into the scientific thing, but 300 to 1,000 kind of is the normal range of what you're supposed to have. And by the time you hit 30, I just hit 30 this year, so this is a scary one for me, you start to decline 1% year by year, which is why you have guys in their 60s, 70s, 80s who are very much on the low testosterone end, and that causes certain bodily issues as well, but that's kind of the natural progression. That's the way God designed it. God did not design, however, to have 20, 25-year-old, 30-year-olds to be basically at the floor,
yeah,
testosterone wise. But we see this, and we see the rise of video games and junk food and sitting around and not going outside and playing sports and not getting enough sunlight. When you, I keep saying we're going to get into this, there's so many things that I just listed that are horrible for testosterone growth. And making sure that we as men are men, that we are manly, that we are masculine, that we're able to lift heavy things and do manly things. We're losing that as a society because we're not taking care of some of these things. And so when we should be at our peak in this adolescent and early adulthood stage, we're actually very, very low.
Well, let's talk about why it matters. If you want to pull up your brother's image here in just a second, Joe.
Well, I was going to read this really fast. Sorry, because that's what I was looking at. Is this is a Forbes article going into basically the decline and how bad this is. In a 2016 study, the average 20 to 34-year-old man could apply 98 pounds of force with a right-handed grip, down from 117 pounds by a man of the same age in 1985. The grip strength isn't necessarily a proxy for overall fitness. It's a strong predictor of future mortality. He's got several other studies within this one Forbes article, so maybe we can link to it in the description, of how much we have dropped. There's been a 2007 study in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism revealed a substantial drop in U.S. men's testosterone levels since the 1980s. And of course, there's the 1% decline per year by the time you hit 30, but we're talking a substantial drop in men at the same age. Like 20-year-olds from that, from down to 1980, we dropped a considerable amount. I mean, there are some that say, I believe it's, we've dropped somewhere in the, and I don't want to speak wrong, but somewhere like the 40% range of where we were as men back in the 80s. We're no longer there these days. And then there's a separate thing, only 30%. So it says, a separate survey asked men to rate themselves on a scale of completely masculine to completely feminine. Only 30% of 18 to 29-year-olds chose completely masculine.
Wow.
That's compared to 65% of men over 65. That's crazy. A problem. That is a problem.
And because these are young guys.
And these are young guys. And the problem is, they look at it and they go, well, that's, you know, we're masculinity and total masculinity is patriarchy, and we want to get away from that. So there's a political element to this, but this is a problem that we are losing strength. There's another article that I have pulled up on my laptop, which once again is a I think it's from urology.com. So these are pretty big, Forbes and Urology. Like, these aren't just some alt-right thing that you can find. These are happening. The statistics are very real. We're dropping majorly. We're dropping very drastically for the age where it should be at the highest. This does matter. So go ahead and get us into that.
Yeah, and again, I'll let you read your brother's image here in just a second. Jack's got a great wrote on this and has a great thought on it. But just very quickly, I would say one of the reasons this matters is because the lower your testosterone level, the less likely you are to say the hard things. The less likely you are to, or the more likely you are to be conflict averse. You don't want
to
do
just try to get along.
You just want to get along with everybody. You don't really want to have any kind of conflict. Episode 5, 70 episodes ago for us, we did an episode called Say the Hard Things. Man. I don't think we got into testosterone on that episode. Maybe we did very briefly. This leads to this. If your testosterone is lower, and if you know you're doing all these activities, or if you are not doing all the activities that might boost it, you are going to be a bit more mousy. You are going to be a bit more kind of, you know, again, not wanting to have any kind of conflict, confrontation, not really wanting to take a stand for anything. That's a really big reason why this matters. And the other thing that I would say, it's great to be a man. I mean, testosterone is one of those things that obviously is a key aspect of what separates us from women. And so if we diminish that, what are we doing? We are basically trying, and this is what society is doing, is trying to make us more and more effeminate, closer and closer together, bring the two genders basically where there's not much difference. Maybe there's no difference. Testosterone is one of the biggest differentiating factors that makes us a man. And it's good to be a man. And again, if your testosterone is lower, you lose a little bit of that.
That's absolutely right. This is what my brother sent me. This is from, I can't remember the source, but it says, people who can't defend themselves physically, which are women and low T men, parse information through a consensus filter as a safety mechanism. They literally do not ask, is this true? They ask, will others be okay with me thinking this is true? This makes them very malleable to brute force manufactured consensus. If every screen they look at says the same thing, they will adopt that position because their brain interprets it as everyone in the tribe believing it. Only high T alpha males and A neurotypical people, such as autistic people, are actually free to parse new information with an objective, is this true filter. I thought that was very, very interesting, and we may get somebody going, that's actually not the case. You can be low T and think it, but it bears out that those who have low testosterone are going to be those that don't really feel they can defend themselves. They're going to feel like they're on the lower end because, for, well, as we'll get into, some of the signs of low T. That doesn't lead towards somebody who's willing to stand up and do and say the hard things.
Real quick, I was just going to say, to kind of give the easier version of what Joe just read, in case you're like, I don't really know what that said. Essentially, the lower testosterone guys are going to be the ones that are going to be looking around going, is it okay if I say this? Is anybody going to get offended? Or maybe I just shouldn't say it. As opposed to the higher testosterone alpha male, whatever, who's going to be like, yeah, I need to say this regardless of what so-and-so is going to think about it. And this is where I think we got into this in episode 5. You see the problems in the church of preachers or maybe even elders or whatever, church leaders who are afraid to offend people and they're not saying the hard things. This low testosterone contributes to it.
Society is trying to take men out of the equation. We know feminism is all about that. They don't, basically death to men. They don't think they need us. And there's a lot of men that kind of go along with that. Like, well, you know, a lot of men have hurt women, which is true. There's been a lot of men that have hurt women. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a man. That the men, the ultra-masculine men that were hurting women, had rage, they had all sorts of issues that were not under control. That's not masculinity. That is a caricature of the masculinity that they want to tear down. So when they're tearing down the patriarchy, and they're tearing down masculinity, and they're trying to make you feel less of a man, it's because they're threatened by a caricature that they themselves are trying to create. That the ultra-masculine will always be out of control. The ultra-masculine will always lead toward beating their wives. That's not true. The guy with significant levels of testosterone, very high levels of testosterone, can go out and be a great guy in his community. He can do fantastic things, but he's going to be more driven. Yes, he's going to be more muscular. He's going to have some of the things that we attribute to masculinity, but he can have his emotions under control. He can be a fantastic man of God. It's better than the guy who plays video games in his parents' basement all day, who is overweight, has low libido, low drive to do anything, because, well, he's safer that way. He's not going to beat his wife. It's like, because he can't. It's the same thing Jordan Peterson gets into, which is you want basically power under control. You don't want to be, we've talked about this before, but you don't want to be that Prius boasting that you're going the speed limit. You want to be the Ferrari saying you're going the speed limit. Like, a Prius, yeah, you can't barely go over the speed limit. So what difference does it make? A guy who's in his parents, well, I don't beat my wife. It's like, you don't have a wife. Because, I'm sorry, you're a loser if you are not really working toward these things and toward being a man.
Such a good point, yeah.
Whereas the man who's ultra-masculine, high levels of testosterone, he's really pushing himself to be something, and then he comes under control, he has his emotions down.
Self-discipline and all that,
he's disciplined, he's treating his wife and family well. That's a man, and that's what we're calling ourselves to be. That's what we're calling the godly man meant to be. So that's why this matters. That's why we're really getting into this, is we want men who are Ferraris under the hood. I mean, they have the ability to achieve everything, and they could just rip somebody's head off, but they're under control. They're not looking, they're not picking a fight. They're not out of control emotionally. They're not beating their wives.
They're submitting to God.
They're submitting to God, but they're submitting every part of them, which is a masculine man, to God. But here are some signs. If you're wondering, and Will, I'll kind of let you take us into this. If you're wondering, like, okay, what does that look like? How do we know? First off, there's Google. So you can Google a lot of these things. Some of these things came right off of Google. And
I would just say, go ahead and rattle these off. I mean, they're
So some signs of low testosterone before we get into ways to build it. Fatigue, muscle atrophy, your muscle growth is not much, or you're losing muscle. If you find yourself tired all the time, you're waking up and it's, man, I can barely get out of bed. A lack of hair growth. Sometimes it's hair falling out, but a lot of times lack of hair growth where you can't seem to grow body hair. Depression is a big one, where you're very, very depressed. Decreased libido, meaning you have no sex drive, but that also means you don't really have a drive in other areas. Sometimes libido can help in that. Insomnia, you're not sleeping very well. Weight gain, low energy levels. These are signs that you could potentially have low testosterone as a male. So you look at this and you go, okay, the weight gain, absolutely, if you're overweight, if you have low energy levels and there's that fatigue, if you're not hitting the gym and there's this muscle.
These things can kind of spiral into on themselves.
Exactly. They're spiraling, and it just creates somebody who would rather stay in their parents' basement and not do anything. We as men want to be doing things against that, which is what gets us into our ways to build it.
Yeah, so let's hit these, again, be more solution-minded rather than what's the problem here. First thing would be get in the sun, you know, get some sunlight. And this might be difficult for somebody who, let's say, has an office job or somebody who has to spend a lot of their time indoors. This is where you have to be intentional with it. But I mean, getting vitamin D, getting out in the sun, it's been proven is good for testosterone, just things like that. And again, you might have a job where it's like, man, I have to be inside for 10 hours a day. Not a lot of time for, you got to find time, especially right now during the summer when the sun is out for, goodness, what, 18 hours a day, 17, 18 hours a day. You got to find the time for it.
Vitamin D3 can help. Take vitamin D3 supplements. I look down this list and it's like, this is where the modern man will struggle. This is where I struggle as a therapist. I work and I sit down
a desk job,
all day and I'm inside all day. Well, sunlight absolutely helps. Vitamin D3 can very much help. And as we're talking vitamins, magnesium and zinc can also help. Some people say ashwagandha. Quercetin, I believe, is another one that kind of helps it. Basically, what that does is it helps those things bind or it allows it to release all of the good nutrients. So your body's really grabbing onto the zinc and grabbing onto the magnesium, things like that. But those are some key ones that I would say right off the bat if you're looking to kind of build some of these things from a natural perspective.
The next one hits us both pretty hard.
The next one hits me and, yes, I believe hits you, which is sleep.
You have to get good
sleep. We've been reading 5 a.m. Club. And what they say in the 5 a.m. Club, which is, I don't want to get up at 5 a.m., but yeah, there you go. He's got it on the shelf. We've been, by Will's request or by his
recommendation.
I've been reading through this. And
great book, by the way.
It is a fantastic book. He talks about sleep in this. You have to get 7.5 hours a night. That's very much kind of the base, like this is really good. If you get more than 9, that can have problems, actually. And if you get less than 6, that can have problems. So you have like 1.5... what do they call that in statistics? Like you can go under or over 1.5, but really the sweet spot is at 7.5 hours.
7.5 hours. So if you're going to bed, if you want to wake up at 5, you better be going to bed by 9:30. Basically.
Yeah. That's really, really, that's tough. Really tough to do, especially with kids because they keep you up and such. But sleep is a fantastic way to build it. Your body's not going to have nutrients and it's not going to recover from the next thing that we'll get into if you don't have proper sleep.
Let me ask this, Joe, because this is while we're just kind of having this episode and talking about sleep, and it's a struggle for both you and I, not in the sense of like when I'm asleep, I'm out for the night. My quality of sleep is fine.
Right.
I do struggle to get the 7. I usually do average right around 7. If I get 8, it's a good night. If I get 7.5, it's a pretty good night. Why do you think it is that guys like us, maybe guys that are watching, struggle to get this perfect 7.5, call it 8 hours, whatever, of sleep? And what do you think guys like us, guys like who might be watching, listening to this, what do you think we can do to kind of help ourselves there? I can think of a few, but I wanted to get your take.
Nighttime routine is huge. Absolutely huge. They call it, what do they say? Revenge. I'm horrible on the terms today because we were just talking about this. My wife and I were just talking, but you're basically taking revenge for what you didn't have all day. You haven't had any time to yourself. You've been dealing with kids. You've been dealing with work. So you stay up late on the back end and it's like, this is finally the time for my brain to shut off, for me to catch my Netflix show, do my reading, whatever it is. Next thing you know, it's 10, it's 10:30.
I need to
get ready for bed. Next thing you know, it's 11. You're finally crawling to bed, 11:15, 11:30. And then you're trying to get up at 5. Well, 5.5 hours of sleep just ain't going to cut it night after night. But that's ultimately what we're getting. So I would say the biggest thing for me is my nighttime routine is horrible.
Yeah, that's what I would just say. Planning out and being very intentional with what time am I getting up? Because again, a lot of people are like, I ain't getting up at 5. But knowing what time you need to get up.
Yep.
And so therefore extrapolating backwards going, that means I need to be asleep by this time. Because what I'm really bad about is, I'll get in bed by 9:30. How often am I asleep by 9:30?
Right.
Probably not. Maybe I'm reading, whatever, finishing. Oh man, the game is tied with 2 minutes left. Let me just pull that up real quick and watch it. Talk to my wife or whatever. Next thing I know, it's 10:30. Well, guess what? I just, wasted 45 minutes or whatever, but I was in bed. And so being very disciplined about that, again, struggle area for me is like, I hate missing out on stuff. I hate going to bed early. So I feel like I'm missing out on stuff. Tonight, I plan to be in bed asleep by 9 o'clock. We'll see how that goes. But it is one of those things. I just think intentionality is key.
You also, a lot of people are really coming up with like how important sleep is. You're seeing Andrew Huberman. You're seeing other people see this and they're really starting to understand Modern Wisdom, Chris Williamson. They're having people on and there's a specific guy that goes into this and he's kind of the expert on the matter of how important sleep is for all levels of functioning. Like, yes, to build testosterone, basically for every other part as well, you have to have adequate sleep and that pre-midnight sleep is key. And I know as young men, 15, 25, and now at 30, if I'm in bed before midnight, it's almost a miracle. That's a problem. We have to start setting in place good habits. If you're 15 listening to this, please, I beg you, start really good bedtime habits where you are in bed at 9:30.
If you can start now, you will be set when you're 23.
So far ahead, and people are going to go, you're a bump on a log. Why don't you stay up? Why don't you do this, do that? Trust me, it is well worth it to establish a habit now. And the other thing is, if you can get up at 5, it's so calm and peaceful. It is so quiet. You're up before everybody else is up. You get so much
more accomplished.
You get so much more accomplished. Your Bible study time. Trust us, please prioritize sleep.
So I derailed us on that. I apologize. No, go for it. I'll go ahead and move us in the next thing as far as, again, we're on the topic of ways to build testosterone. Working out. Big, again, Godly Young Men podcast, the gym podcast, big proponents of this. I think this was our 4th episode, I want to say, where we talked about working out. So it has been a while. Listen, it's incredibly important for building your testosterone. It's incredibly important for feeling like a man. Cardio, of course, and there's a lot of great ways to do cardio. Of course, you could do the treadmill, but you could go jog. You could jump rope, which I'm really big on. You could do fun stuff like we were just talking about pickleball a second ago. Not the best cardio, but, I mean, there is stuff. If you're at, like, base level zero, maybe, you know, take the next step up and try something like that. But cardio and then weightlifting is huge. Yep. You know, lifting weights, especially combined with cardio, that is a great way to increase your
testosterone. They're finding from this working out, they're finding this is basically the 2 keys to healthy working out. 3 to 4 times of weightlifting a week. So you're going to be hitting your upper body a couple times, lower body once or twice, and cardio, and it's going to be zone 2 cardio 2 to 3 times a week. That's it. We think we got to get up into zone 4, zone 5. What they're saying is if you get zone 2 cardio 2 to 3 times a week and you're getting weightlifting 3 to 4.
Explain what that is very quickly.
Zone 2 is your heart rate hits a certain rate. So if you're in like zone 5, you're almost dying. Zone 4 is you're at the peak, like 85-90% of your heart rate. You're very high up on that. So I don't know exactly if it differs, but if you look up zone 2 cardio, it'll tell you where it is. That's going to be a jog where you are breathing hard. You know, zone 1's walking. It's kind of wrong. Zone 2 is you're breathing a little bit harder, but you're not panting.
The way I've heard it explained is like if you tried to sing a song, you would have trouble. Like it'd be difficult for you to sing a song.
There you go. So it doesn't even have to be that much. And they're finding, study-wise, that those 2 things consistently doing that week after week, that's what sheds the pounds, and that's one of the best things you can do for your health. The next one is don't sit too much. Ouch. This one also hits me. I do 8 therapy sessions a day, and I sit for all of them. It is important to get off of your butt and go outside and get to work. Go do something. Go, you know, walk around your house. Go for a jog. If you have a treadmill, go hop on the treadmill in between while you're doing something. You can also, you think about work, do the 45-minute Pomodoro effect or Pomodoro method of like 45 minutes of work, 15 minutes off, or 50 minutes of work, and or 10 minutes
counting
off,
your steps, walking around.
Exactly. In those 10 minutes, go do something active. Go make sure you're moving your legs because sitting is horrible. And that gets us into the next one, which is lose weight. Like this is a increased weight as a sign of low testosterone. We have to lose weight. When you lose weight, your testosterone will naturally increase.
Yeah. And you're like, Joe, that's easier said than done, lose weight. I don't mean to be insensitive. In a lot of ways, it is easy to get the formula. It's not easy necessarily to put into practice.
Right.
But it has long since been proven. Count your calories. If you're in a caloric deficit, you will lose weight.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to be insensitive of like, you know, oh man, you're saying it's easy. I'm saying the formula to lose weight is pretty easy. Count your calories. If you want to lose weight, make sure you're in a caloric deficit. The exercise, of course, very much ties into that. You will lose weight. And so that's something that I would strongly encourage you, you know, Joe's brother, expert on this. I mean, he's devoted years of his life to this, and he is a walking example of somebody who just counted. He didn't do anything drastic. I mean, drastic for some people, but like he counted his calories. He was disciplined. He exercised. Lost, what, over 100 pounds? Like, it is so doable. You just have to have the self-discipline to do it. And so tied into this, the next one, your diet does matter. If you're talking about ways to build testosterone, Joe, you put on here no vegan, no vegetarianism. Make sure you eat meat. Elaborate on that one for just a second.
Yeah, testosterone. It's very important for you to eat red meat and to eat meat. And
eat you a steak, basically, is what I'm hearing.
We're men. That's what we do. No, I mean, it is very healthy to get really good carbs, to get good fats, solid good fats, not fats like Oreos, fats
Krispy
like
Krispy Kreme, man.
Yeah,
good,
exactly. Yeah. No, avocados, things like that are very good and healthy fats. And to eat meat, to have really good, solid meat, like you will not get, because they always try to have to hit your kind of macros or whatever through, oh, well, I eat chickpeas or I eat in vegan. No. We're men. We eat meat. That's just a matter of personal pride. But actually, it has been found for testosterone. Make sure you're eating meat. Next one is, I'm going to jump because this one's a weird one, and then I'll let you in on the last one. semen retention. And if you do some studies on this, that is, they will initially say it actually harms it, but in the long term, this can increase it. And what that means is, for the, I'm just going to say it as it is, for the kids that are masturbating consistently, that's really not healthy for you. It's really not healthy. Semen retention in the long term, while you're waiting on your spouse, is in early adolescence, what is, or mid-adolescence, late adolescence, is what's supposed to build that testosterone. So when you are masturbating every single day, first off, that's lust and it's wrong if you are not, like, that is intended to be for marriage. But second off, it really does affect your health, physically speaking, and it does affect your testosterone levels. But go ahead and get us in the last one.
Yeah, just stress reduction and cortisol levels. This is what we were talking about beforehand of, like, if you're stressed, that can lead to low testosterone, which can then make you more stressed out, and it just can kind of compound on itself. But I am curious your thoughts on, let's say you are somebody who's naturally, who just gets stressed out. Let's say you have a lot going on. Let's say you're 28, married with a kid or whatever, and you're trying to make ends meet, and it's just one of those things that's like, yes, yeah, stress is kind of an everyday part of my life. What would your suggestion be to somebody who, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm ultra stressed or anything like that, but there are, you know, there are certainly stressful aspects of my job, things that, you know, are a headache every single day that are like kind of on the minor stressful scale. But then there are also things, you know, making the mortgage payment and, you know, this, that, and the other thing that I don't necessarily have to get into on this podcast. But it's like us as men are going to go through a lot of stressful things, especially in our younger and early years when we're establishing our family. Kids are younger, so it's just a little bit more stressful in that end. You're trying to make money. You're trying to get your career. Stress is almost, I don't want to say inevitable, but it's very close to inevitable. So what would your, again, Joe, as the outline, as the guy who did this outline, what would your suggestion be when we're talking about ways to build it, I guess, reducing your stress level?
This is a tough one for me.
I do have an answer also, but I wanted you to go first.
Yeah. The cortisol levels stay fairly raised for me, and then you end up eating horribly, which is why we're really working on the diet right now, because that's kind of a way, and then that fluctuates cortisol levels, which really isn't good. The biggest thing I would say, there's a lot of different therapy elements. If you have chronic anxiety that you can't get over, you're crippled by anxiety, that probably is a mental health condition that you need to seek therapy or advice or something like that. If you just have a difficult time managing, or you just find yourself at a very high stress, this is why the 5 a.m. club I think helps so much. Get up and, yes, exercise. That is a stress reducer. Yoga, meditation, mindfulness, prayer, things like that. And people can get real weird on yoga. I'm not talking like the Eastern religion side of yoga. I'm talking just the stretching in the morning and having a moment to, if you don't have a moment to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth and do that for maybe 10 minutes and clear your mind, you need to make time for that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, and this hits me hard. I always like to be listening to stuff. I always like to feel progress. And if I'm listening to a podcast, then I'm making progress. If I'm reading a book, it's progress. And I think, obviously, those things are important. Just time in quiet.
Yeah.
Not in front of a screen. Not just scrolling social media. Not every spare second you have. Like, oh, well, what's the latest thing on Instagram? And to me, again, kind of maybe a simple answer, I think a lot of this is reducing stress levels comes down to, how much quiet time are you giving yourself? Mm. How much time at night, instead of watching Netflix or watching sports, again, is, you know, talking to me here, is just spent reading a book, just sitting down, quiet, cup of coffee, you know, decaf or whatever at night, just reading a book, just talking with your spouse, or if you're not married, not talking at all. Again, not having AirPods in. Like, we live in such an overstimulated society that, again, I myself am a victim of this, of like, I just always want to be listening to stuff, always want to be doing stuff. And so by the time I finally stop, it's like, okay, well, let me just go to sleep. Well, I just had a day where I had zero time to sit alone with my thoughts, meditating, whatever. That's something I got to work on, because I do think that's great for reducing stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we hope this has helped. I'm going to let that be a wrap. I think that's a great wrap. We hope this has helped. This is something that, again, it's been on my mind. You can go get tested, not just the testosterone, but a men's panel, basically, which will test this along with several other things just to see where you stand health-wise and what comes back normal, what doesn't. And that can help you with your diet. That can help you knowing what exercises and things like that you really need to target. And I would suggest something like that if you're very, very interested in this. And if you're seeing signs of low testosterone, maybe consider looking toward a test. We are not medical professionals. I should have said that at the start, you know, at the outset.
Like those commercials that have the, you know, things at the end, like, we are not.
Yeah, exactly. We're not medical professionals. So if you take this and something ends up happening because you take, you know, 10,000% of your magnesium and something, please don't. Be smart, be mindful, Pay attention to the bottle if you are to get vitamin D3 supplements and such. More than anything, take care of yourself. Google these things. Research these things.
And just look to level up. Like if you are, if you're exercising for 30 minutes a week, maybe, let's go for an hour a week. Let's go for an hour and a half a week. If you're getting 6 hours sleep a night, let's try for seven. Like, work your way up.
Yeah. Get some sunlight. Put the video games on. Whatever it may be that's keeping you inside, even if it's books, if it's video screen, this is to me, it's all us. Level up. It's good to be a man. This is a big part of being a man, is raising this testosterone levels. We want to bring back very strong, masculine, godly men that are capable of doing fantastic things. So we're striving to be. That's what we hope you strive to be. With
this,
that, though.
This was the perfect topic for episode 75, I got to say. That worked out really well.
There you go. I think it worked out well. So thank you for, again, being with us through 75 episodes. We hope to be there for 75 more and beyond. But we are going to wrap right here. We will talk to you again next week.